The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text for this morning is found in Daniel chapter 3. That's Daniel chapter 3. I want to read about three verses this morning. Daniel chapter 3, I'll begin in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In these two verses, we have delivered to us the response of these three Jewish believers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We find their response to Nebuchadnezzar, that great and powerful king of Babylon, and his self-centered, government-sponsored worship, a worship that was based upon Nebuchadnezzar's when and Nebuchadnezzar's what. In other words, he had decreed that you'll worship when I say so, and you'll worship what I say so. He dictated this madness to the Babylonians, to all the captives in the land of that day. Now, God brought that proud rebel down later, as we seen a couple weeks ago in the message I preached. God brought that proud rebel down later at God's time and in God's sovereign way. But this book is not about some puffed up toad of a king over Babylon, nor is my text about him. Neither is this book, nor my text, a book about men, whether they be rebellious men or faithful men, such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This book is not about men in general, though the book speaks about men and has many accounts about men and women, faithful men and women, and also rebellious men and women. Yet this book, that is the Bible is not a book about fallen, corrupt, Adamic humanity. This book is about the God of heaven and earth. This is what my text is about. These three faithful young Jewish believers, and that's what they were. They were believers in the one true and living God. But this passage here is even, it's not about them. This book is a book of, and it's a book about the only true and living God and his Son, the one whom he sent, the Messiah, Jesus Christ the Lord. Now in Daniel chapter 3, we have the account of this King Nebuchadnezzar, and as I said, his mad decree that all should worship when he said and what he said, and men were told under the threat of a judgment of a burning fiery furnace that they would be cast into it if they didn't, when they hear the music start up, if they didn't bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's God. But these three young Jewish believers refused to do so. And we have the account here of their response to Nebuchadnezzar that they would not serve anything or anyone but their God. Sadly, pseudo-Christianity, and what do I mean when I say I mean false Christianity? I mean that which gives lip service to God, but their hearts are far from him. those who speak about God, but they deny his true character and his true and absolute attributes. Sadly, pseudo-Christianity, with its man-centered bent and its effeminate deity it calls God, that's right, that's what I said, it's effeminate deity it calls God, that God who wants many things of man but has no power over them, that God who is nothing more than an abused feral cat with no claws and with no fangs. Pseudo-Christianity centers on these three Jewish believers, these three Jewish young men, rather than their God. This passage is not about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, though they are a part of the text and the context, of course. But this whole book is about the God of heaven and the God of earth. These three Jewish believers touted their God. Do you see it? When we read it, think of it. If it be so, we're not careful to answer thee, O King Nebuchadnezzar. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou set up. These three Jewish believers touted their God. They praised and extolled his authority. They bowed down before his will. This is what they did. If it be so, it's not a matter of whether he was able. Of course he was able. The question is he willing? Pseudo-Christianity today teaches exactly the opposite. They teach that God is willing in many things, but he's not able. That's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches he is able. The question is he willing? So these three young, faithful Jewish believers, they touted their God's authority, their God's will. They touted, they praised, they extolled his power. They extolled his ability. They extolled his sovereignty. The glory of their faith, a God-given faith, a God-given faith. The glory of their faith, the glory of their fidelity to God was based upon the matchless majesty of their God. If it be so, they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve, do you see it? Our God whom we serve is able. Now, it's not if he is able, but if it be so. If it be so, is that what he has purposed? Is this what he has ordained? He is able. The question is, has he willed it? Has he ordained it? Has he purposed it? If it be so, they said, our God, whom we serve, is able. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. He'll deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. But if not, we still will not bow down. We'll not bow down to your gods. We'll not bow down to the gods set up by men. No man, even if it's the king, even if it's those that even their God had put in authority. Yet we know that it's better to serve God than men, that we serve God foremost and always. It is him. In other words, what they were saying here, and they said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, this is not something we're ashamed of. It's not something that we cower under the auspices of human authority. No, they said, he is able. He is able. The question is he willing? You see, the scripture calls God the Almighty God. The Almighty God. That means might, power, authority, sovereignty. It's his power, his abilities, all powerful. Now, since he is, not if he is, but since he is almighty, since he is all powerful, then how much might, how much power resides anywhere or in anything or in anyone else. No power, because he is all-powerful. He is the Almighty God. Any other power that does exist comes by his sovereign will, by his sovereign purpose, by his sovereign ordination. It is a power that is allowed by him, suffered by him, ordained by him. We know the Apostle Paul says, Romans chapter 12, that the powers that be are ordained of God. They have no power apart from what he gives them to have, because he is all-powerful. He is able. But here's the question, is he willing? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he who was none other than God Almighty manifest in the flesh, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And I want you to listen to what he prayed concerning this thing of power, his ability. Listen to what our Lord prayed in John chapter 17. In our Lord's high priestly prayer, he prayed these words, John 17 and verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Do you see it? As thou hast given him power over all flesh. But I asked, to what purpose? For what reason had God the Father given the Son power over all flesh? Look at it. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they, that is those who are given, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So the question is not, is he able? The question is not, is God able? The question is not, is Jesus Christ able? He has all power. He has power over all flesh. For what reason? To give eternal life to as many as he so desires, to each and every one that God the Father had given to him in the covenant of redemption ordained before the foundation of the world. He is able. The question is he willing? Why? Because all power resides in him. All power resides in him. Now here's the second thing. If he is willing, they were saying. This is what they were saying. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying to this proud, rebellious King Nebuchadnezzar. If he is willing, your grasp, O king, means nothing. And Nebuchadnezzar, it was a few years after this account we have here in Daniel chapter 3. But in Daniel chapter 4, we read of an experience that Nebuchadnezzar had, to say the least. And God Almighty, when God Almighty brought this proud rebel down, brought him down personally, brought him down by experience, drove him into the field, and God Almighty drove this man mad. And when God Almighty returned this man's sanity to him, listen to what he says, Daniel chapter 4. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said, verse 34 of Daniel 4. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said. This is what God brought him to see. This is what the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a few years later, brought Nebuchadnezzar to see. Listen to what he says. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And listen, and he doeth according to his will. Why? Because he's able. He has the right and he has the might. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol. Do you see it? You see the change in this proud rebel? The way it was when he was speaking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The one who became so angry and furious at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego whenever they said what they did to him. Became so furious, he had them heat that fiery furnace up 7 times hotter than original. He said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." So the question is not, is he able? The question is he willing? Because all power is his. And if he is willing, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not careful to say, if he is willing, your grasp, O king, means nothing. But here's the third thing I want to point out to you. Even, this is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not careful to answer. This is what they were clear about. Even if he is not willing, it's not a question of ability. It's a question of his will. It's a question of his purpose. It's a question of what he purposed and ordained to do. If he is not willing to deliver us from the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will serve him, and we will not serve your gods, nor worship your golden image. You see, their God only was worthy of service. This is not a matter of, well, we respect all religions, O King. No, we will not bow down to your gods. We will not worship your golden image. Their God, that is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it wasn't the God of the masses. He's not the God of this world. Satan is called the God of this world. Their God only was worthy of service and worship. No matter what the immediate outcome, even if it was certain death, we will not bow down to anything or anyone else other than this God, our God, the God that we serve, the God that we worship. We bow down to him only. So their God only was worthy of service. This is, in our day, under the new covenant, the covenant of grace, this is the heart and mind of the believer. We bow down, serve, and worship Jesus Christ and him only. We serve and worship God the Father only through him. We believe God the Father and that he sent his Son into this world. We believe the record God gave of his Son, all the record. We believe that he did what he came to do. Scripture says that Joseph was to call his name Jesus. Why? Jesus, that means Savior. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Why? Because he's able. So the Christian today, the true believer, true Christians, not pseudo-Christianity, true Christians bow down. They serve and worship God only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our God is worthy. He is worthy of this service and this worship, no matter what the immediate outcome. Even if that outcome means we die. Even if that outcome means we suffer because of our testimony. Even if it means we suffer because of our refusal to bow down to the gods of this world, and the gods of men, and the maddening dictates of this evil Antichrist world. But here's another thing. Even if death comes, this is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying to Nebuchadnezzar. Even if death comes, our God has, and our God will deliver us from you. Don't you see that even when the believer dies, it's not losing the battle. In death, we conquer. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us, the scripture says. And death has no more victory. It has no more sting over the believer. Even death is not a loss for the believer. Death is gain for the believer. You see, a true, a bona fide, a real, the real McCoy, as sometimes men say, a true believer worships and serves God in the person and work of Jesus Christ only. And even if death comes, our God will deliver us from this world. We will not bow, the believer says. I will not bow, the believer says. Oh, that this is my faith. Oh, that this is my faith. And I pray unto God that this is your faith. The faith that is touted amongst pseudo-Christianity in our day is nothing more than the faith of fallen Adamic corruption. It's a faith that's not worth spit. Oh, but the faith of God's elect, the faith that God gives, the faith that is the fruit of the Spirit, that faith justifies before God. That faith brings right, imputed righteousness before God. That faith honors God in the person of his Son. But now hear me. Here's my last thing this morning. And oh, may it be that God Almighty will give you ears to hear and eyes to see even this day. Listen to me. Although Nebuchadnezzar and his regime is dead and gone, nevertheless, the Spirit that motivated that regime, that Spirit is still in this world today. Some of you may be familiar, but you remember the phrase in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ written by John the Apostle. And there, John writes these words. He speaks about a beast. And I'll read verse 8 of chapter 17 of the Revelation. It says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit." Notice that word, the beast that was and is not. But yet it's said that beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Do you see that? When was the book of life written? From the foundation of the world. It's not being written. It was written from the foundation of the world. Everyone's name who is to be found in the book of life is already found in the book of life. And this is what John says concerning that beast. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Kind of a perplexing statement, is it not? But yet we see here that in this very book, the Apostle John is quite clear. Even John, who said in his first epistle that you've heard that Antichrist shall come, but said, even now are there many Antichrists in the world. The spirit that motivated Nebuchadnezzar, the spirit that will motivate the Antichrist when he comes to this world, that spirit is now already in the world. And that spirit motivates all pseudo-Christianity. Now listen to the first part of Revelation 17. "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast." You see, there's the beast and the woman together, "full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hands full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon." Do you hear that? Mystery Babylon. That's the beast that was and is not and is yet to come. This same spirit motivates pseudo-Christianity. Remember, now let me give you something here. Think about it. Remember, that spirit cried that when you hear the music, fall down and worship. Go back to Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. When you hear the music, you bow down and worship our gods. This is the same spirit that motivates every so-called altar call in our day. This is what men practice today. They have their little preaching services, and at the end, what do? They play their music. They tell you to come forward and bow down before their gods at their altar. Scripture, nowhere in Scripture is such a blasphemous practice encouraged by God. Men and women are to bow in heart and mind and soul and will at the feet of Jesus Christ the Lord, not at some man-made altar. That's the same spirit that was motivating Nebuchadnezzar hundreds of years ago is the same spirit that motivates pseudo-Christianity, the great whore of the book of Revelation, who rides upon that beast that was and is not and yet is. So you see, they say, when we play our music, we'll play our Just As I Am. You come down to our altar and you worship our God. No, you go down that altar, you worship that God, you will perish. Nowhere in Scripture is such a blasphemous practice encouraged by God. Oh, that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, may it be that He will be your God. May it be it'll be Him that you serve and worship, and Him only in the person of His Son. Refuse all the auspices, all the encouragements, all the beggings and the groanings of this false antichrist world that would have you come to their gods when they play their music. Bow down before Jesus Christ. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. Love Him. Believe Him. Serve Him. Worship Him and Him only, because He only is able to deliver.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.